A Delicate Balance by Japanese Teeth. Chapter 28. Elegy 3. Change.
They should do it. If there's anything that's going to tell me whether or not Applejack might be ready to make things permanent, this is it. Wait. No, I shouldn't get my hopes up. It might not be that easy to figure everything out. I have to be realistic about this. And I don't want to mess up dinner, either. Forget the analyzing. It hasn't helped me much, and it'll just make me uncomfortable. I need to focus on just having a nice dinner with Applejack and her family.
Although thy hand in faith, and good works too, have sealed thy love which nothing should undo, yea, though thou fall back that apostasy, confirm thy love, yet much, much I fear thee. Women are like the arts, forced unto none.
Elegy 3, Change, John Donne.
Do I look okay, Spike?
Spike looked up from his comic. Twilight had just emerged from the bathroom after spending the past 20 minutes standing in front of the mirror with a comb and jumbo-sized bottle of hairspray.
You look exactly the same as you always do, he said. How can you spend so long doing your hair without actually doing anything? Perfect! Twilight smiled.
Huh? Spike furrowed his brow.
What are you talking about? You want to look the same as always?
Of course, Twilight said matter-of-factly.
It would be disrespectful to look too disheveled, but I don't want to be too made up either, because it's such an informal dinner.
So, in other words, you could have just saved some time and not bothered with your maid. Twilight frowned, then sighed.
Yeah, I'm overthinking again, aren't I? Just a little.
Spike rolled his eyes and returned to reading his comic. Humdrum had just received superpowers as a result of a magic rock from space, and Spike wanted to see what he did before some plot device returned him to normal.
I put your salad in the fridge so it wouldn't wilt while you were doing nothing with your mane.
Thanks, Spike.
Twilight playfully ruffled his spines.
Are you sure you don't want to come along?
Are you kidding? I have my evening all planned out already.
Do you now?
Twilight said, trying and failing not to let her skepticism show.
Yeah,
Spike nodded.
I mean, yeah, the plan consists of eat lots of chili, then eat lots of ice cream, then read comic books until I fall asleep. But it's still a plan. I guess it is, technically.
Twilight allowed a bit of mild concern into her voice.
But not too much ice cream, okay? Remember what happened last time you ate so much at once?
Yeah, because you never let me forget it.
Spike stood up and gave her a shove toward the door.
Now get going, you don't want to be late. Wait, I have to get my salad!
Spike groaned.
What do you need a salad for? I thought Applejack said he didn't have to bring anything. It's not like a potluck or anything.
I know, Twilight said as she went into the kitchen.
I just wanted to do something nice for them. Cheer Lee said that she's bringing a dessert.
Why? Spike asked.
Applejack makes like the best pie ever. Why would she need to bring a dessert?
That's what I said. Twilight emerged from the kitchen, balancing a large bowl on her back. Her argument was that apple pie doesn't have chocolate in it, and therefore isn't a dessert, no matter how good it is.
Can't argue with that logic, I guess.
Spike conceded.
Well, have a good time. Tell everypony I said hello.
Of course, Spike. I'll see you tonight. If you're still awake when I get back, of course. Don't wait up.
Oh, I won't, he answered.
Have a good time.
Twilight nodded.
I'm pretty sure I will.
Applebloom, finish putting out all the place settings. Granny, you check on the casserole. I'll finish slicing the bread.
Everything had been planned out perfectly. The entire prep for the dinner had been organized so efficiently that Twilight would have been proud. Well, apart from the tremendous oversight that Big Macintosh couldn't be in two places at once, as he was slotted to both manage the stove and to go pick up Cheer Lee. Naturally, when forced to choose between the two, he had gone for his mare friend.
Why'd Big Mac have to go get Miss Cheerly?
Applebloom asked, as she stumbled towards the table, precariously balancing a stack of plates on top of her head.
She knows where we live. She can find her own way. He's just being polite, Applebloom.
Applejack sniffed at a loaf of bread before plucking a knife out of the holder and beginning to slice.
Then why aren't you going to pick up Twilight? You aren't being unpolite, are you?
First off, it's impolite, Applejack said, leaving the knife halfway through the loaf.
Second, she told me not to bother because she wanted me to be able to help out with the food. If both me and Mac were out, it would mean that you and Granny would have to do everything yourself. And something tells me that that wouldn't end well, would it?
Darn tootin',
Granny said with a nod, only half listening to what her granddaughters were talking about. She set the casserole on the counter and sniffed it.
Needs a bit more salt.
She pawed around the various bottles on the spice rack, nabbing one labeled Black Tartarus Pepper. As she popped off the cap, a wisp of smoke hissed from the holes.
Here we go.
Whoa there, Granny.
Applejack snatched the bottle out of Granny's grip and replaced it with the salt shaker.
We don't want any pony breathing flames at the table. You really ought to get some glasses.
She stuck the pepper bottle back on the rack. Don't know why we even have that around here. She turned back to Applebloom, who now had a stack of cups on her head. Applejack steadied the wobbling tower of glasses.
Good thing I decided to stick around.
Yeah, that's probably good, Applebloom admitted as she carefully set the cups down.
Why didn't Big Mac hang around?
Because Twilight already said it was okay to stay here.
Saves Big Macintosh the trouble of having to ask Cheer Lee about it. Besides, now he owes me a favor. Not a real big favor, but I'll take it.
She snatched the casserole away from Granny and set it on the table. Everything seemed to be in order. There was no reason to try and impress Twilight, of course, but Apple family dinners tended to run the gambit of pleasant to unmitigated disaster, and she'd rather not have Twilight's first impression be on the latter end of the spectrum. She just hoped that Granny hadn't tried to season any more dishes.
What time is Everpony supposed to get here anyway?
Applebloom said, her question emphasized by a convenient rumble of her stomach.
I'm hungry.
I told Twilight to come around at 6 o'clock.
She glanced at the clock, which was at 5:46,
which means that she'll probably show up right about.
She paused, half expecting a perfectly timed knock on the door. There wasn't one.
Huh, I would have thought she'd be here by now. She's always showing up early to everything. Maybe she forgot.
Ha, I don't think so.
No, if she did, she's never going to hear the end of...
Then a knock came.
Ah, I bet that's her.
I'll get the door,
Granny announced, and began to trot towards the door with the swiftness of a partially asleep slug. Twilight knocked again and called.
Hello, Applejack? Any pony there?
Just a sec, Twi,
Applejack called. She took the opportunity to glance over the food on the counter to make sure Granny hadn't dropped her teeth into anything. Granny finally reached the door and opened it with an agonizing slowness.
Come on in, dearie,
she said, shuffling to the side to let Twilight through.
Hey, Twilight!
Applebloom bounced towards her, but Applejack pinned her tail to the floor with a hoof.
No jumping on her,
Applejack said, noting the large bowl of salad Twilight was carrying.
Good to see you, Twi. That is way bigger salad than I was expecting.
I just wanted to make sure I had enough for every pony,
Twilight said as she put the giant bowl on the table.
Better too much than not enough. You can keep the leftovers.
Oh, we're not gonna have leftovers, Applebloom said. Not if both Applejack and Big Macintosh are eating on it.
She poked her head over the edge of the table.
Matter of fact, you maybe should have brought more.
We'll be fine, Applebloom,
Applejack said as she shoved her sister aside so she could get to Twilight. Though Big Macintosh does go a bit overboard sometimes.
You know you're technically not supposed to show up for like 10 more minutes, right?
I know. But if I left now, I'd probably run into Pinky on my way over and not get here until a quarter after.
She grinned.
Besides, I'm hungry.
Aren't we all?
Applejack said.
As soon as Big Macintosh and Cheer Lee get back, we'll be able to get started.
Oh, they were right behind me. They should get here, Rennie. Knock, knock,
said Cheer Lee's voice from the other side of the door, which was still partially open.
We're here. I'll get it.
Applebloom bounded over Applejack's back and threw the door open so hard that it slammed against the wall, rattling the pots and Granny Smith's teeth.
Hey, Miss Cheerily.
Good evening, Applebloom,
Cheerily said, patting her on the head.
It's so good to see you all.
I hope you don't mind that I brought a plate of brownies.
Oh, not at all. Can't have apple pie all the time.
Applejack winked.
Only most of the time. Why don't you put it on the counter?
She glanced at the clock.
Okay, it's a bit early, but what do you say we dig in?
No reason to kill any more time.
Big Macintosh nodded empathetically.
Yup.
That settles it,
Granny announced.
Everypony, sit down and we'll dig in.
Applejack couldn't help but chuckle to herself. Just when she thought she had gotten to the point where all the metaphorical wrinkles were worked out of the relationship, some little goofy thing would pop up and remind her that she didn't have the matter quite as firmly in hoof as she thought. Of all the complications that could have cropped up, confusion over the seating was the last thing on her mind. Growing up, the seating pattern had simply been to take whatever spot was closest to you when some pony rang the dinner bell. For special occasions, like the family reunion, you might take an effort to sit next to some pony that would make for interesting conversation, but past that, you really didn't put any effort into it. Then there was Twilight's version. Apparently, some pony way back when had come up with the official set of rules to determine who sat where, starting with the head of the household being at the one at the head of the table. That rule made sense, but everything after that seemed a bit arbitrary. Apparently, there was supposed to be a certain order of seating. Applejack couldn't make heads or tails of it, aside from that Big Macintosh was technically supposed to be seated last. It wasn't just a quirk of Twilight's imagination, either. Cheer Lee seemed to have some idea of what they were talking about. Of course, there seemed to be some subtle differences, such as whether a pony was supposed to sit next to, or across from, their significant other, Twilight was quite adamant that couples should be seated across from each other, while Cheery Lee insisted that they ought to be side by side. Eventually, everyone else had decided that it really didn't matter either way, and they ended up going with the Apple family sit in the closest chair system. Twilight, naturally, ended up across from Cheery Lee, and next to Applejack. The conversation had started off rather simply. Between requests to pass the whatever, it had been mostly small talk of how about this weather, and what did you do today, and how's the casserole, variety. Which was fine with Applejack. It meant she didn't have to listen too closely and could focus on her food. In fact, she was so focused that it wasn't until her third helping of casserole that she realized that everyone else had switched their focus to the conversation.
And then it exploded because we overpressurized the air tank, Applebloom was saying. So after that, Applejack said she had the Vipo power over every project from now on.
Vipo power? Cheerily cocked her head to the side. What's a Vipo?
I think she means veto power, Twilight explained.
And I can't say I blame her. Apparently one of the cart's axles got driven through one of the barn support beams.
Big Macintosh nodded. There's a wheel stuck in the door, too.
Oh my, Cheerily said, her eyes wide.
Were any of you hurt?
Nah, we were fine, Applebloom said. Sweetie Belle and Scootaloo were hiding behind a rock, and I had a helmet on. I mean, maybe we should have done it farther from the barn, but we were fine.
Applebloom, if a piece of debris can get stuck in the barn wall, it can go through your helmet. Cheerily tried to sound more like a concerned parent and less like a stern teacher. What would have happened if it had hit you in the face? She frowned.
I'd need a new face, I guess.
Well, you can't get one. You need to take care of the one you've got.
Big Macintosh added, between bites of dinner roll.
That was fine, Applebloom grumbled. I knew what I was doing. I had the book and everything.
The book, huh? Twilight rolled her eyes. Have you ever used an air compressor before?
No.
Then I hardly think you qualify as knowing what you're doing, Cheerily said.
While it's admirable that you want to try new things, you really do need to consider getting some sort of supervision when you do something that's potentially dangerous.
Yeah, well, where am I supposed to find some pony who could do that? Big Macintosh and Applejack are usually too busy to do that stuff.
Applejack watched Twilight tap her chin with her hoof.
I suppose that if you let me know ahead of time, I could help out,
Twilight offered.
Ever since Spike took over the library, I've had a bit more free time, even with the job at Bon Bon's shop.
Applejack decided that now was a good time to try and actually join the conversation.
You'd really do that, Twilight? That would be great.
She paused.
Wait, since when do you know anything about making an airbag?
Twilight chuckled.
I might not specifically have done that, but I know the proper protocol for experimenting in a risk-free manner.
Oh. Applebloom stared at her.
What does that mean?
It means that she knows how to be safe when you're trying something new, Applejack said. Which means not hooking an industrial-strength air compressor to an old canister and turning it up as high as it goes.
I still don't understand where they got an industrial-strength air compressor, Cheerily said, shaking her head.
Same place they got that industrial-strength drying machine, Applejack said wearily. Then she turned to her sister.
I thought I told you we weren't allowed to order stuff out of that farm machinery catalog without asking.
I didn't order it from the catalog, Applebloom protested. Big Macintosh wouldn't let me have it, so I got one second hoof from the flea market.
Big Macintosh nodded in confirmation. Yep, they wanted to get welding stuff, too. Applejack stared at her sister.
What?
Applebloom smiled guiltily.
How am I supposed to make a solid frame for the car without being able to weld?
You ask somebody else to do it,
Applejack said in exasperation.
I don't want you setting your mane on fire or burning the barn down or something.
This wasn't the kind of impression that she wanted her family to make on Twilight. Though on the other hoof, it was pretty indicative of a typical Apple family dinner. Twilight sensed Applejack's momentary discomfort and began to push things away from Applebloom's misbehavior.
So, Applebloom, would you like it if I helped you out with your science project? If Cheery Lee is okay with it, of course.
I don't mind as long as they do the work themselves, Cheery Lee said.
And I'm sure there's no danger of them pawning their work off on you.
Applejack chuckled. If anything, she'll probably try to make him learn even more stuff.
That sound like a plan, Applebloom?
Yeah, that would be cool.
She glanced at Twilight with narrowed eyes.
Just as long as Twilight doesn't start lecturing us about something boring.
Very funny.
Twilight frowned as the Apple family member started chuckling.
All I'll do is make sure you stay on the right track.
Mostly. Sound like a plan?
I think that'll work real well, Twilight.
Applejack put a foreleg around her.
Thanks for helping my sister out.
It's no problem at all. It's almost as if Applebloom was my little sister.
Big Macintosh nodded. Yup.
Aw, Jirly smiled, then turned to Big Macintosh. Isn't that adorable?
He shrugged. I guess so.
Applebloom groaned. You two aren't gonna get all sappy, are you? At the end of the table, Granny Smith blinked a few times. What's this about Weldon now?
Ugh.
Spike began to sit up and stopped halfway, as his stomach was in the way.
That was such a bad idea.
He flopped back onto his pillow. The plan was that the spiciness of the chili would be offset by the dairy content of the ice cream. That part had gone flawlessly. Unfortunately, he hadn't accounted for volume, and currently it felt not unlike a ball and chain attached to his gut rather than his leg. At least he had all evening to digest. As long as he didn't move much, he didn't feel too uncomfortable. There was a knock on the door. He groaned again, hoping that they would go away on their own. The library's hours of operation were clearly posted next to the door. Yet there was more knocking. The library is closed, he called out. Please come back tomorrow.
Spike, is that you?
The voice was familiar, very familiar.
Could you open the door, please?
Sure thing, Rarity,
he yelled, springing to his feet despite the full stomach.
Just a minute.
He waddled over to the table, where his entire chili pot, now half empty, sat in the midst of a bunch of empty bowls and cracker crumbs. He feverishly grabbed a napkin and tried to shove all the crumbs together. With his other claw, he started to stack the bowls. He had to try to make the place look at least a little neat. He paused for a second to straighten his spines and answered the door.
Good evening, Rarity. What can I do for you?
Good evening, Spike. I just came by to drop this off.
She held up a clothing bag. It's that dress that Twilight wanted me to mend for her. She glanced around the library.
Say, where is Twilight?
She's at Applejack's, having dinner with the Apple family and Cheer Lee.
Oh, and you aren't invited?
I was invited, Spike said. He puffed up his chest and only succeeded in making himself look a little bit chubbier. I decided to stay here so I had some time to myself. And I wouldn't get in their way, of course.
Well, that was very thoughtful of you, Spike.
She patted him gently on the head. He smiled contentedly. I do what I can.
So where do you want me to leave this dress?
Rarity held up the bag again. Twilight said I could leave it in her room. Spike reached out a claw to take it.
You wouldn't mind if I took it up myself.
Rarity's eyes darted up and down the length of the dress.
I don't mean to besmirch you, but I don't think you'd be able to carry it up the stairs without dragging it on the floor.
And I'd rather not fold it either.
It would wrinkle things horribly.
Ah, right. Spike nodded. He didn't see what the big deal was about a few wrinkles, but if Rarity wanted to do it herself, he wasn't going to get in her way. A gentle colt, or gentle dragon, rather, would give the lady the benefit of the doubt in her area of expertise. You can leave it on her bed, then. Is there anything I can get you? Tea?
No, thank you,
Rarity said, as she started up the stairs to Twilight's room.
I just finished eating, and I am quite full.
Well, if you want anything, let me know. As Rarity vanished upstairs, Spike groaned. Of course she would show up just as he had finished gorging himself. This probably wasn't quite what Twilight had meant when she told him not to overeat, but she still turned out to have been right.
Gah!
Rarity's voice echoed throughout the library. Spike ran to the stairs. Rarity had presumably come across a spider or rat or other manner of vermin, and it would be Spike's job to rescue her. Granted, her exclamation had been more of surprise than terror, but Spike wasn't about to waste the opportunity. He burst into Twilight's room in the most triumphant pose he could manage with his overly stuffed body. Are you all right, Rarity? He gasped.
Oh, I'm fine, Spike,
she exclaimed, a wide smile on her face.
Why didn't you tell me that Twilight was looking at bridal magazines?
Bridal magazines? Spike swallowed nervously. I didn't know about that myself, and honestly, I don't want to. I mean, if Twilight's into that stuff, fine, but I'd rather not have to hear about it.
Huh?
Rarity stared at him, confused. Then the realization struck.
Oh, not that kind of bridal, Spike. I'm talking about the other kind of bridal magazine. You know, the kind that has to do with brides.
She held up the magazine, the cover of which featured a lanky Pegasus, sporting a frilly white gown. Yeah, of course, Spike mumbled, trying to act as if the other type of bridal had never crossed his mind.
So, what's the story behind these?
Rarity gestured at the stack of magazines next to the bed. She must be seriously considering marriage, if these are any indication. She opened one of the magazines and noted the circles around pictures and notes in the margins. Twilight never writes in her books,
even magazines. I guess she might be thinking about it, he said. He tried to sound uncertain. Twilight would let him have it if he spilled the beans now, but a flat denial would probably just go as far as confirming Rarity's decision. I mean, they've been going out for a while now.
You don't need to play dumb, Spike. Rarity rolled her eyes. If Twilight was making the least bit of effort to hide these from you, I doubt she would have left them lying around. And there's this note here she wrote to herself reminding to tell you to pick up the most recent catalog from the local jewelry store.
Oh, right.
So she is planning on proposing then?
Spike decided that the jig was up.
Yeah, she is. You can't tell anypony, though. She wants to keep it a secret. She wouldn't even tell me?
Rarity gasped in mock surprise.
Why would she try to keep such a thing a secret?
I shouldn't talk about this. You should ask her for yourself.
Don't worry about it, Spike.
She leaned forward, putting her hoof gently under Spike's chin and raising his head so that he looked her right into the eyes.
You can tell me.
She was afraid that you'd go crazy and try to plan everything for her. Spike stuffed a claw into his mouth to stop the words, but it was too late.
Oh, Spike! Rarity guffawed raucously, wagging her hoof at him. I would never dream of intruding on Twilight's life in that manner.
Whew. Spike drew his claw across his forehead.
I mean, I certainly have some suggestions for how she ought to go about popping the question, and I'll have to make a nice dress for the occasion and then take the time to ensure that the setting is just
ahem. Spike cleared his throat, loudly. Rarity's eyes shifted back and forth as she flicked the curl of her mane and began to follow Spike back downstairs.
I suppose I'll have to talk to her by myself about it. Do you know when she'll be back?
No idea. She told me not to wait up for her.
Leaving things open-ended, I see. Well, I'll just have to drop by tomorrow, then. If you're still awake when she returns, will you let her know that I want to see her, won't you? And let her know that I have no intent of telling anyone about her plans. I only want to help.
He nodded. Of course. I'm sure she'll really appreciate it.
Wonderful. I suppose I should let you get back to...
Rarity glanced at the pile of dinner paraphernalia on the table. Whatever it was that you were doing. She yawned as she opened the front door.
And by the way, I love what you've done with the library. Very organized.
Thank you. The young dragon's eyes gleamed.
You're welcome. Have a lovely evening, Spike.
Good night, Rarity, he answered, as he watched that door close behind her. As soon as she vanished, he smacked himself in the forehead. Oh, that was brilliant. Pig out. It's fine. Twilight isn't here. Of course Rarity would come by now. He sighed and resettled himself with his comic. I sure hope Twilight won't get too mad that Rarity knows what she's planning. Then he shrugged. Nothing I can do about it now. I just hope Twilight is going to be in a good mood when she gets home. So then, Big Macintosh sticks his head in the hole to see if he can see the ball, and he gets stuck, Applejack said, grinning ear to ear. Twilight, Cheerilee, and Applebloom broke into giggles, while Big Macintosh just snorted. Granny Smith also snorted because she had nodded off. And guess what he did see in there?
I don't know, but I'm guessing it's not pleasant,
Twilight answered with a laugh. In the past hour or so, she had learned more about the Apple family than she had in all her years living in Ponyville. She never would have guessed that Applejack had been a member of the Philly Scouts. She didn't seem like the type.
It wasn't a skunk, was it?
The grin on Cheerilee's face hinted that she had hoped it was.
It sure was, Applebloom added. Sprayed him right in the face.
Hey, Applejack gave her sister a playful shove.
I thought I was the one telling the story. You were just a baby when that happened.
She turned back to the rest of the group.
But yeah, there was a whole family of skunks in there. He stank like a trash heap for like 3 days. The first night was so bad he had to sleep in the barn. We had to give him 4 tomato juice baths before it started to come off.
Yep, Big Macintosh said with a nod. We used to tell Applebloom that my coat used to be yellow, but all the tomato juice turned me red. She believed that for years.
I did not. Applebloom crossed her forelegs and scowled. Well, maybe when I was a baby or something.
Applejack poked her on the side.
Don't be lying, Applebloom. You didn't realize that we were pulling your leg until last year.
Hey! Applebloom grumbled.
Don't worry, Applebloom, Cheerilee said. I was even older than you were when I realized that my grandfather didn't really serve under Commander Hurricane. You'd have thought the fact that he was an Earth pony would have tipped me off.
Every pony has those moments. Applebloom snorted.
Well, while we're telling embarrassing stories, why don't I tell Applejack how Big Mac sneaked away from the orchard and into the school while we were having recess?
You what? Applejack glared at her brother.
Is that the real reason you didn't finish spreading the fertilizer last week?
Big Macintosh bit his lip. He also might have blushed a bit, but it blended too much with his regular color, to be sure. Does anybody want to play a game? How about apples to apples?
Wait just a sec, Applejack said. Don't go, that sounds like fun,
Cheerily interrupted, an awkward grin on her face.
I haven't played apples to apples in ages.
I'll go get it then. Big Macintosh hurriedly trundled out of the room. Applejack shook her head.
I hope he realizes that I'm going to give him a piece of my mind later, she mumbled.
Oh, you shouldn't be so hard on him, Cheerly said with a chuckle. She took a sip of her cider.
I had a full day of parent-teacher conferences the day before, and he wanted to cheer me up a bit.
Yeah, you can't really get too mad at him for that,
Twilight said. Then she put her leg around Applejack's shoulders. Remember when you dropped by the chocolate shop while you were supposed to be working the apple cart?
Shh!
Applejack's cheeks flushed.
Okay, I guess I shouldn't give him too much trouble over it.
How are two of you getting on, anyway? You got anything special coming up?
Oh, nothing in particular. I'm busy with end-of-semester work, and I'm sure you know all the things your brother has to do.
We do have a nice night out planned for next month, though.
She leaned in and held up a hoof to shield her mouth, even though Applebloom had left to help her brother locate the game, and Granny had long since nodded off.
I'm hoping he'll try to surprise me with a certain question. I doubt he will, though. You know as well as any pony that he likes to take things slow.
Yeah, if you're thinking he's going to take the leap, you're probably going to be waiting a while.
Oh, I know,
Cheerily chuckled.
I shouldn't be so impatient. It's not like we've been together for that long, anyway. Now you two, on the other hoof.
She winked.
What about us?
Twilight asked suspiciously.
I'm just saying, it's obviously just a matter of time before you two get hitched. Or at the very least, set a date.
Every pony can see it, you know.
Ever pony?
Applejack's tongue stumbled over the word.
What, you haven't noticed? Even Granny Smith can see it coming from a long way off. Isn't that right, Granny Smith?
Eh?
Granny blinked a few times.
Think about what now?
What do you think about Applejack and Twilight?
Oh, well, them? They ought to quit beating around the bush and get out the rings, she mumbled. They're taking forever. When I was their age, I'd have been hitched for like a year already.
Cheerily turned back to Twilight and Applejack.
See? You two are in this for the long haul, aren't you?
You could say that,
Twilight said carefully.
It's just, we talked it over and we wanted to take our time with it. That's all.
We don't want to jump into anything before we're ready. Right, Applejack?
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. Applejack picked up her cider mug and drained it.
Well, if you are going to get engaged, I hope that the two of you do it soon.
Although I must admit, I have something of an ulterior motive.
And what's that? Applejack asked.
I thought that maybe if Big Macintosh saw his little sister getting married, he'd be more inclined to take the initiative to do so himself.
Cheerily burst into giggles.
I'm sorry, I know I should let you and your brother take your time. I wouldn't want to rush things. It's just that sometimes I think, well, what's stopping us? You know what I mean?
Twilight smiled.
Yes, I think I understand what you're talking about.
Applejack glanced sideways at her. Wait, what?
Time to start the game!
Applebloom burst into the dining room and held the game box above her head.
Who wants to go first?
Okay, finally got everything cleaned up. Spike took a deep breath as he shoved the half-full chili pot into the fridge. Last thing I need is for Twilight to start complaining about me leaving a mess in the kitchen. He sighed. She'll probably complain about me taking up half the fridge with chili, though. Oh well. He headed back into the main room and glanced at the clock. Still no Twilight, and it was almost his bedtime, too. Either her dinner was going smoothly, or it had been a disaster and she had made a beeline for Canterlot rather than heading home. It was probably the first option. Possibly the third option, that Twilight had gotten food poisoning and was no condition to go anywhere. But that was even more unlikely. The apples were too good at cooking for that, and on the off chance that did happen, they would have sent someone to tell him. There was a knock on the door. Hope he didn't jinx her, Spike mumbled to himself as he hurried to the door. Now that he had gotten some time to digest a little, standing wasn't quite so uncomfortable. Who is it? He called. If you're here for the library, we're closed for the night.
It's us, Spike, Sweetie Belle and Scootaloo.
Oh, come on in. Spike swung the door open, and the two fillies bounded in. What's going on?
Do you have any idea where Rarity is?
Sweetie Belle asked.
I just looked over at the boutique, and it's all dark and locked up.
She was here about an hour ago to drop something off for Twilight, but I haven't seen her since. He shrugged. Sorry.
Ah, this is so annoying.
Scootaloo stomped her hoof in frustration.
Applejack torpedoed our car idea after the airbag exploded, so we're going to upgrade our zipline instead.
Oh, that ought to be... He tried to think of a word to describe the inevitability of face planting into a tree.
fun.
Yeah, we wanted to see if Rarity could make us a pillow to stick on the tree at the end of it,
Sweetie Belle said.
I thought she was going to be at her house, but I haven't seen her. You have any idea where she could be?
Nope, I've got nothing, Spike said. Well, I've got some extra chili if you want some. It's kind of spicy, though.
I told you he wouldn't know where she was.
Scootaloo snorted and buzzed her wings in agitation.
I'm telling you, I saw her back by the jewelry store.
Fine, fine. Sweetie Belle rolled her eyes.
I don't know why she'd be there, though. She digs up all her own gems, and pretty much all of her jewelry comes from Canterlot. Isn't that right, Spike?
Yeah, I help her dig. Spike thought for a moment. In all likelihood, it had been Rarity at the jewelry store, but he couldn't exactly explain what she was doing there. Scouting on Twilight's behalf, no doubt. He tried to come up with a plausible explanation. Maybe she needed a new necklace or something to go with a new design, and didn't have time to order it from Canterlot.
I guess she might do that, Sweetie admitted. It would have to be a real emergency, though.
Guess it was an emergency, then. Scootaloo shoved Sweetie towards the door.
Let's go find her! We need that pillow!
You sure you don't want any chili? Spike shouted after them as they went out the door.
No thanks, it's too spicy,
Scootaloo answered.
If you see Rarity, let her know we're looking for her.
Sweetie Belle freed herself from Scootaloo's shoving.
Bye.
Bye. Spike waved after them and closed the door. The zip line, huh? I don't think we have any books about that. Twilight examined the perfectly straightened and parallel line of cards on the table, her tongue poking out of the corner of her mouth as she concentrated all of her brain power on answering the question that lay before her. Then she snatched up one of the cards.
Starswirl the Bearded,
she declared triumphantly.
Oh, come on!
Applebloom banged her head on the table.
That doesn't fit at all.
So, I'm judge this round, and I pick Starswirl.
Yup, Big Macintosh nodded. That was mine.
Twilight, the word was chewy, Applejack grumbled.
What the hey does Starswirl the Bearded have to do with that?
It's Starswirl, Twilight said, holding up the card.
He always wins.
But the rules say you're supposed to pick the thing that matches the word on the green card. Applejack held up the rules. I might not be as up as magical history as you, but I'm pretty sure Starswirl the Bearded wasn't Chewy. The rules also say that the judge for the round can pick cards based on whatever criteria you want, Twilight said with a grin. Besides, I'm pretty sure you're winning anyway.
She's right,
Cheerilee said.
Besides, you're the one who picked candy apples when the word was principled.
Okay, fine, Big Macintosh can have that one then.
My turn now!
Applebloom reached for the cards.
The word is...
Wait just a second, Applejack interrupted. First off, it's my turn. Second of all, it's already past your bedtime. You gotta get to bed.
Already?
Yes, already, Applejack said. I was gonna have you to bed like half an hour ago, but I thought I'd give you some extra time. She turned to Twilight. I'm just gonna run upstairs and get her tucked in, alright? I'll be back in like 10 minutes. 15 tops. She kissed Twilight on the cheek and started up the steps. You won't leave on me, will you?
Of course not,
Twilight answered with a laugh. Alright then. Y'all can keep playing without me if you want, or wake up Granny and have her take my spot until I get back. Come on, Applebloom. She bounded up the stairs, her sister following reluctantly behind her. Twilight watched until they had disappeared down the hallway, satisfied that they were gone. She leaned across the table.
Big Macintosh?
Yes,
he answered.
I have something that I need to talk to you and Granny Smith about.
Twilight pranced triumphantly towards her bedroom.
They said yes,
she crowed as she threw the door open.
Gah!
Spike woke up with such a jolt that he tumbled out of his bed and landed on the floor with a thud.
Oh, you're back.
He took a few deep breaths. Wait, she said yes? I didn't think you were even gonna ask her yet.
No.
Twilight shook her head.
I'm not talking about Applejack. It's tradition that when you propose to some pony, you should ask their parents for approval first. I know it's a bit old-fashioned, but given how close Applejack's family is, I thought it would really be appropriate. And since Applejack's parents aren't around, I figured that I would ask Big Macintosh and Granny Smith for their approval.
And they approved. Twilight smiled widely.
Granny said that she'd be proud to have me as a part of the family, and Big Macintosh told me there's no pony else he'd rather have marry his sister.
She tapped her chin with her hoof and chuckled.
Hopefully I didn't set the bar too high for when Applebloom gets old enough to get married.
Well, congratulations, Spike mumbled as he crawled back into bed. I get you're excited and all, but can you fill me in on everything tomorrow?
Oh, right.
She lowered her voice.
I'm gonna go get ready for bed. Good night, Spike.
Good night, he said as he threw his blanket over his head.
Applejack relaxed on the sofa and listened to the sound of her brother finishing the cleanup in the kitchen. Things had gone well. Not that she had expected anything different,
but it was nice to know for certain that every pony got along. Twilight would make a great addition to the Apple family, eventually at least. But why eventually? She had hopped the last barrier. What was stopping them? If Twilight proposed tomorrow, was there any reason to say no? The lack of an answer sent a chill down her spine. It was possible, however unlikely, that a week from now, she wouldn't just be a very special some pony. She'd be a fiancé. That was way too fancy of a word for her. The gravitas cracked, and she began to giggle. If that was the only excuse she had left, she really needed to stop making excuses altogether. But still, if Twilight asked, why was she still looking for problems? Did she want to say no? She pulled her hat down over her face. She could worry about that later. Tonight had been great, and she wasn't going to rain on her own parade. Besides, Twilight wasn't the type to rush. She'd have plenty of time to figure things out.